Praise God. Okay. So, Wes, stay here for a minute. And Jim, would you come up here? Take a box. And you take a box. Now, we have all these little Jesuses that people are passing out and doing things with. Even if you already have some, Jim and Wes is going to pass out two to each person. And if you can, do a different color for each person. So two separate colors for each person. And I'll tell you what we're going to do with them in a little bit. Okay? So go ahead and do that. And again, like I said, even if you own some, take two today. Is not cooperating. Hey, got it. Okay, Adriel, thank you so much. Praise God. Aren't we fortunate to have Adriel as our worship leader? Amen. And the Bible says to give honor where honor is due, and we are honored to have him as part of our church. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. So, today, this thing is acting funny. But I think I have it memorized. It don't matter. So, today, what I want you to do with those Jesuses, by the way, well, there's a lot of things I want you to do with Jesus, but for today, thank you, just in case, yep, that's good, right? Oh, yeah, okay, I got it, thank you. So what I want you to do is look at the two colors you have and pick your favorite color, okay? And put your favorite color in your dominant hand. If you're right-handed, put your favorite color in your right hand. If you're left-handed, put your favorite, the other color in your left hand. Okay? And I want you to leave them in those hands for the entire sermon until we get to the end. Okay? So if you need to scratch or something, just scratch with one finger, but leave it in your hand. It'll might make sense later. If it don't, that's okay. You know me, I'm crazy anyhow. Will, did you get your two baby little Jesuses? You can, all right, she's got them. Tell them what to do with them. Okay. So, as we get started, I want to tell you the title of today's message. And the title is The Biggest Mistake Christians Make. Now, this is my opinion. My opinion of the biggest mistake Christians make. You may think it's something else. That's fine. You don't have to agree with me, but do listen to me, okay? And see where we're going with this. But before I start hitting that topic, I want to ask Wes to come up here for a minute. So, Wes is I want him in your hand. Thank you. He'll leave him in his pocket and forget. So, Wes is our drummer, Weston Kaliski, yes. And when did you start learning the drums?
2022.
So, 3 years. So 4 years ago, how well did you play the drums?
You see the little kid right there? Not like that.
Okay, so you didn't. So 3 years ago, how well did you play the drums?
Still not too good at first.
Okay. 2 years ago, how well did you play the drums?
Pretty okay.
And now? In my opinion, not yours.
What do I tell you? Good.
Okay. I think he's good on these drums. Okay. But a year from now,
I'll be better.
He'll be better. Okay. So how often do you play the drums?
Every single week, almost every single day.
Almost every single day, almost every single week. And when you're home practicing, how much time do you spend on the drums on average?
Per day or per, I'd say at least like an hour or so a day, hour or two.
Hour or two a day. Okay, thank you. Okay. Now, remember that. Okay. Jim. They knew I was going to call on them. They just didn't know why. Okay. So he's got his Jesus. Good. Okay, so what did you do your entire life as a career?
I worked for the United States Postal Service.
And you did?
I delivered mail. I was a city letter carrier.
Okay, you're a city letter carrier. So the day before you started work, what did you know about delivering mail?
Just what I saw the mailman do, putting mail in a box and walking down the street.
The day you started your career, how much did you know?
I didn't know any of the mechanics of it. I just knew that the letters were going to be delivered to individual families, but I didn't know all the logistics of it.
Okay. And you had how long of a probationary period that if you didn't do well, they'd kick you to the door?
90 days.
And after 90 days, how much did you know?
Pretty much everything that I needed to know about delivering mail.
Okay. And through the rest of your, how many years did you do it?
45.
Through the rest of your 45 years, did you continuously learn more about what you had to do throughout the whole time?
Yeah, because they kept on adding new technology that we had to learn how to use the scanners, and it was just a progressive learning process.
Thank you. Okay. So we're going to make a point here of all this in a few minutes. Now, what I want to start doing is, you got your Jesus still? Everybody got your Jesus? Okay. Don't put him down. He won't forgive you. No, I'm teasing. So I want to read Colossians 2, 1 through 10 to you right now. Okay? For I want you to know, and this Paul wrote, for I want you to know what a great conflict I have for you and those in Laodicea. And for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts may be encouraged, being knit together in love, and attaining to all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the knowledge of the mystery of God, both of the Father and of Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So it just said, in the Father and Christ is where all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden, yes? Okay. Verse 4. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. For though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. Beware, verse 8, beware, lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him, in who? In Jesus. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Where are you complete? In Jesus. And who is the head of all principality and power? Remember that. That's important. So I want to hook together verse 4 and verse 8. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So I'm still suffering from dry mouth from the cancer and junk, so forgive me. So, as a child of God, I'm talking about a person who is saved through what Jesus Christ has provided for us. We have one main source, as far as I'm concerned. We have a lot of sources, but we have one main source that will help us not be tricked, not be taken away through philosophy, through empty deceit, through unwise counsel, actually, through words that'll pull us away. And can anybody figure out where I'm going with this? What's the main one source that we have? The Bible. Thank you. Okay. So, what I'm going to talk about today is that the Bible, God's Word, is the main thing that we have to help us be protected from everything the devil throws at us. Okay? You hear what I'm saying? This is one of those that's going to develop slowly, but it's going to make sense in a few minutes. Okay? So, the average Christian, I did some looking up, the normal Christian, Protestant and Catholic, is what this survey was, spends way more time, and this won't surprise you, on their phones and watching TV than they do reading God's Word. Statistically, most people who claim to be Christian do not read their Bibles regularly. Now listen to this number. Only 19% of churchgoers read the Bible more than once a week. And part of that number includes when they're in church actually reading it to them, somebody reading it to them. So in 2019, a research company called Lifeway Research showed that, this is 2019, 39% of Protestant, you're a Protestant, by the way, pretty much Protestants are all people who are born again that aren't Catholic. It's kind of the way that works, okay? Only 39% of Protestant churchgoers said they read their Bibles every day. Now, the next year, in the year 2000, the same group, Lifeway Research, did a study of all Americans. And they found that only 9% of all Americans say that they read their Bible every day. And that percent number is even lower for people who claim to actually be studying the Bible. So there's a difference between reading the Bible and studying the Bible. 9% of a country that was founded on the principles of God. And if you go back and study our history, this country was founded on the principles of the Bible. And only 9% of us read the Bible or claim to read the Bible every single day. Okay. Now, I do know that statistic in this church is probably a little bit higher, because I personally know several of you that's in the Bible a lot. Okay. But statistically, there's still a pretty good number of us here that aren't in the Bible enough. You with me? And all of us, and I've mentioned this at Men's Fellowship before, while the pastor was there, and I included the pastor in this comment, and if he was here, he would agree. And Jim and you guys, if you remember, he agreed that night. I said in that, when we were talking that night, that every single one of us can do a better job than we're doing right now in learning and studying God's word. I said, including the pastor, and he said, absolutely. You guys remember that night? Okay. So we can all do better. And so the reason I had, you know, I know Wes really well. I know Jim really well. And I kind of knew what their answers would be. That's why I felt safe bringing them up there. I didn't want to ask somebody else about what they did because I didn't know what answer I'd get. But I was pretty sure I knew what their answers were going to be. Now, you all agree that Wes is a pretty good drum player. Yeah? I know that embarrasses you, and I'm glad. So I don't. He knows I don't mind embarrassing him. So he's almost like a son to me. I've seen him since he was about this tall. I've known him. We've been here 11, 12 years now, something. Yeah, no, it's been that long. Anyhow, but so we knew him when he was about this tall and almost that wide too, right? Yeah, so, but now look at him. Girls, he's available too, by the way. So he told us that he does what on the drums daily? And for how long? Hour or two. Now, I'm not going to ask him how long he reads the Bible every day. Okay? But the point being, for him to get good at what he does, he has to do what? Over and over and over again. Doing the same thing over and over and over again. And every time he does it, he gets a little bit better. And then a little bit better. And then a little bit better. To where he gets pretty good. To where he gets a little bit better. A year from now, he expects to be even better. Why? Because he's going to keep on practicing 1 or 2 hours every single day. So I wonder how many people, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because I know what it will look like. I wonder how many of us, let's just talk to us and those of you at home listening. I wonder how many of us can say we read the Bible 1 to 2 hours every day that we possibly can. It wouldn't be a lot of hands going up. It really would. Okay? A few would, for a fact, because I know a lot of you who you are, you know. But all of us wouldn't be able to do that. On some days, I don't. I don't have the time, I think. But again, it's all about focus. It's all about priority. It's all about what we want to be good at, what we do. And you've kind of agreed with me, and Becky knew right away, I was talking about the Bible, that learning the Bible is our greatest protection. Right? So if we want to live a victorious Christ-like life, we have to learn how. How do we learn how? Practice and studying what the manual says. If we don't know what the Bible says, we cannot put it into practice. Is there anybody here, and I'm serious now, anybody here that does not agree with me that without practice you can't get really good at whatever you're trying to do? We all know from life's experience, no matter what we're doing, I don't care what it is, if our desire is to really be good at what we do, we have to practice repetition, repetition, repetition to get good. Okay? Now, something cool has happened. Last Sunday, the pastor, during his sermon, mentioned the full armor of God. Wednesday night, Jim was teaching, and he mentioned the full armor of God. And God has me mentioning the full armor of God today. Okay? So we're going to read the full armor of God. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20. And I want to read the whole thing, even though we're only going to focus on one part. Okay? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, and those of you in men's fellowship know this part is my favorite. When you've done all you can do to stand, stand, therefore. Having, now here's the outfit. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Okay. You've heard these scriptures a bazillion times. People have preached and taught on these things over and over and over again. We should all be experts about it. Okay. But there's only one that I want to look at today, and that's the sword. Jim, tell me why I want to look at the sword. Nope. Well, that's true, but it's the only one that, it's the only offensive weapon that we have. Okay? Everything else is for defense. You with me? A sword is the only thing for offense. I was a financial advisor. In fact, the last career I had, I was a financial advisor for like 22 years. And I had the opportunity of training people. And I taught them that if they wanted to have a successful business, and this is true about any business, if you want to be successful, you want to create an environment in your office or whatever you're doing to where you're 95% proactive and 5% reactive. Okay? When you're proactive, you're on the offense. You're the one that's in control. The other 5%, you're reacting to whatever's happening that you can't control. You with me? Okay. And so the devil is constantly throwing things at us. Now, I personally want to always be on the offense. I want to have that sword in my hand. I want to be able to pretend with me this is a sword. I want to be able to swing it. I want to be able to thrust it. I want to be moving forward and in control of the battle. Always. I got the dough, okay? If you're on the defense, if you're being reactive, number one, you don't know what's coming. You don't know where it's coming from. I was watching Bruce before church started, and he has a little device. He was playing with the kid. I didn't know how good Bruce is with kids. Those of you that teach need to maybe talk to him, but then the kids. So anyhow, Bruce, put it up. Right at my head. or right above my head. Now, before you launch it, this is something to get as precise and as good as he is, by the way. Bruce has had to practice with what he's about to do. He just didn't pick it up and get good at this. Okay, Bruce. Okay, so now I see it coming. It's right over my head. I promise I won't break it. Okay? But if that didn't make noise and it was sneaking up on me, and all of a sudden there it is, do I just want to be dodging it all the time? Put it right about here. Put it right about here. Do I want it a little lower? Now, do I want to be dodging and not knowing what it's going to be doing? Or is it better for me to just go and smash it to the ground? Which would you prefer to do? You want that always in your face, making that irritating sound? And you don't know what he's going to do with it because you're not in control. He's holding that controller. So you want to go like this all your life, you know, or do you want to just get rid of it? What do you want to use? Answer me. You want the sword, the word of God in your hand, to take, whoa, boy, I could have just, right? Okay, thank you. You can go home now. Thank you, Bruce. Now, you see how well he controlled that. Okay? Why was he able to control it that well? I'm going to run out of time again. That's all right. Why, huh? Practice. You know, I would imagine when he first bought that thing, if I would ask him to do the same thing, it would probably poke my eye out because he wouldn't have been able to control it that well. Okay? Jim, you know me probably better than, other than my wife, you know me probably better than anybody in this church right now. Okay? Because you know my background and you know part of my history that nobody else knows, okay? If I ask you to come up here and take this away from me, do you want to do that? Why? What if I gave you a bigger sword? Okay. What if I gave you a big sword? And I just used a yardstick. Okay. And there's a reason he answered all that. But it's because I know what to do with something like this in my hand. Okay. But it took years to get good. It took years to be able to do what I can do. Now, not bragging or anything, you know, that's not the point. There's other people with military training in here that if we were back to back, I guarantee you there's 10 of you couldn't touch us. Right, Aaron? Right, Steve? Yeah? So, the point is, without the Word of God, without being proficient in the Word of God, without knowing how to use the Word of God, you're dead meat. You know the story of the seven sons of Sceva? Okay? These are guys that you can't... you can't fake it. Okay? People try, but you can't fake it. If you don't know how to use the Word of God, if you don't know how to yield that sword, you're going to hurt yourself or you're going to get hurt. Okay? Here's the story, Acts 19:11-17. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "We exorcise you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches." Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirit answered and said, you all know this, so still listen, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you?" Then the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, overpowered them, prevailed against them, so that they fled. That's one against seven here. So that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. This became known both to all the Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Now think about that. 7-1. But these seven guys were trying to pretend they knew something they didn't know. And so they looked at this demon. Well, I almost pointed at somebody. They looked at that demon. Nobody's a demon in here. They looked at that demon and they said to him, basically, come out of him. I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, who Paul preaches, even though I don't really know who that is, come out of him. Well, they set themselves up for failure immediately because the devil knows the word of God as well. What did the devil tempt Jesus with in the wilderness? Scripture. And what did Jesus win the battle with? Scripture. The first three words out of Jesus' mouth every time was, "It is written." And then he told the devil what was written and he won. If you don't know what's written, you can't use it. You're going to be beat up, believe it or not, by the word of God. Because if Jesus, of course, it's ridiculous what I'm about to say, but if Jesus didn't know the word of God, the devil would have had him. You know, over and over again, Paul teaches, over and over again, Jesus teaches, over and over again, Peter teaches, over and over again, the Bible teaches, your defense and mainly offense comes from the word of God. You've got to know the word of God. But not only know it, you got to know how to use it. Look what happened to the seven sons of Sceva. They kind of almost used it right, but the demon saw right through it. Who are you? You know? And guess whose sword then came out? The demon's. One guy possessed beat up seven dudes. Yikes. Because they tried to fake it. They tried to act like they could do something and they knew something they didn't know. You know, all of you that know me know that for the last several years, I've been in one battle after another with health and all kinds of stuff. But the most common question I get from people is something on the order of, how do you keep doing what you do? You know, we know you're hurting. We know you got cancer. You know all this stuff's going on with the prostate stuff. You almost died from this. And, you know, all this nonsense that the devil keeps throwing at me. And the answer is quite simple. What do I do? This is what I do. I have been reading the Bible. And again, please don't take, those of you that know me know my heart. I'm not trying to brag or nothing. But I've been studying this sucker since 1977. Not just reading it, studying it. Okay? So when this stuff comes against me, I pull out the Word of God. I don't look at what's going on. I look at what the result can be. And so not only do I claim the Word of God, but I stand on the Word of God. Okay? When you've done all you can do to stand, when you're at your wit's end, when you're hanging on to that last bottom knot on that rope, what do? Keep on standing. You face the devil and you proclaim God's word. Okay? So I know the word of God. I've studied the word of God. And I know how to apply the word of God. And I can go through this church and pick out people that do the same thing. It's not just me, you know. There's a lot of prayer warriors in here. They know how to swing that sword of prayer, you know. There's people here that can quote scripture and just throw it out there and just beat up the devil with it. You know, we've read the scripture. You know, we fight. We're not fighting flesh and blood. We're fighting a spiritual battle all the time, but it plays out in flesh and blood. We have to be able to whip that sword and do something with it, you know? And again, I was going to name people like Linda and different ones, you know, that know how to whip out a sword, but I decided not to because I'd miss somebody. And I probably shouldn't even said her name. Sorry. But, you know, because I'd miss somebody, and then you'd forget the point because you're sitting there going, well, I read the Bible, you know. So I'm not going to do that. But there's plenty of us here that do, but I also know there's some here that don't, you know. And this church provides plenty of opportunity for us corporately to learn so we can take that information and go home and study. We have Sunday morning service. But this 1 hour of week of having somebody read a few scriptures to you and tell you what they think about it is not enough to put a sword in your hand. It's just simply not. Okay? We have Wednesday night Bible study. We average 10 or 11 people that come to it. We have every Tuesday night, women's Bible study that meets over in that building. They average 11, 12 people. And some of those are the same ones that come on Wednesday night. We have men's fellowship. Meets the second and fourth Tuesday of every month at 7 p.m. across the street. Right now, we're averaging 11, 12 people. Some of those are the same ones that are here on Wednesday night. We have a men's thing coming up in October that's in the bulletin. 3 people have signed up for sure saying they want to go. There's plenty of opportunity. Plus, is there anybody here that does not own a Bible? Raise your hand. Not one hand went up. Probably most of us have 2 or 3 Bibles at home. Plus, I have a Bible on my iPad. I have a Bible on my laptop. I have a Bible on my phone. I take it with me everywhere. Sometimes I look up stuff for the pastor when he's teaching. He says, you know, because he knows I can find it real quick. I got a concordance on here. I can look up the meanings of words anywhere I am, because unless I made a mistake, this is always with me. Yours is always with you, too. I've never seen Will and Wes without a phone in their face. Their phone is in their faces now, holding on to Jesus. I know they're listening because I've learned. I used to think they weren't, but I know they are paying attention even though their faces are in the phone. I don't know how they do it, but they do. They can multitask. They really do. You know? But yet they're still holding on to Jesus. Amen? Wes just showed me his. Okay? So you see the point I'm making here. We have opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. I can say this 1,000 times and not run out of opportunities to learn and study and know how to apply God's word in our everyday life. But yet only 9% of people living in the United States do it. Are you kidding me? No wonder our country is in the sewer. Look around. You know darn well our country is in the sewer right now. And it's the church's fault. You know, there's a scripture that says they don't know because nobody's out there telling them. You know why the church isn't out there telling them? Because they don't know how. Why don't they know how? Because they don't know what the Bible says. If you know what the Bible says, you won't be afraid to talk to people about Jesus. If you trust what the Word of God says, the Bible even tells you. You know, I'm not against memorizing Scripture and stuff. I know a lot of it too, you know. But the Bible tells you, don't worry about what you, this is Tom's paraphrase, don't worry about what you're going to say when the time comes to say it, because the Holy Spirit's going to remind you about what? What you've read. Well, if you're not reading it, there's nothing he can remind you about. You're in trouble. I think I'm making the point now. See how I told you it would all come together? Okay? And again, I'm hoping and praying that people at home and some of us here are sitting here thinking, he's right, I need to read my Bible more. I don't care if you're Jim that teaches every week back here. He's not reading his Bible enough. We can all do better. And a lot of us can do a heck of a lot better. Amen? So, I'm out of time and I have all this stuff. So we'll forget it. So the point was made, though, right? Does everybody understand where I am with this? Okay, so you got your two Jesuses. Hold them up. I want to see everybody's Jesus. Everybody's Jesus. Okay. The one in your non-dominant hand, your least favorite color. What? The one in your non-dominant hand, your least favorite color, what I want you to do with that, okay, you can put your hands down. What I want you to do with that is give it away to somebody that is not a member of this church. I don't want you to hide it somewhere. You know, that's what most people are doing. They're taking these cute little Jesuses and they're hiding them in bathrooms and under stuff and all that. Personally, I think they're doing it so they don't have to engage. What Barbara and I have been doing is going up to somebody, handing it to them, and saying, everybody needs a little Jesus in their life. So easy to say. And I'm telling you, we have gotten into so many nice, little, comfortable conversations. Usually, thank you, it's so cute. And, you know, and you just, you know, we haven't led anybody to Christ yet with it, but it's easy to do, okay? And then blue is my favorite color. I have a blue and a brown, okay? So I want you to take your favorite color, and I'm asking you, I'm not going to make you commit and raise your hand or anything, but if you don't, shame on you, okay? I want you to put this somewhere in your house that you will see it at least 4 times a day. For a lot of us older men, that'll be the bathroom. All right, guys, you know what I'm talking about, you know. Okay, but wherever you need to put it, that you'll see it 4 times every day. And each time you see it, I'm praying the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of what we've talked about today. And if you didn't read the Bible yet that day, I'm hoping the Holy Spirit's going to go read your Bible. That hurt. I hit myself too hard. Okay? So one you're going to give away and simply say, everybody needs a little Jesus in their life. And just walk away. If they want to talk about it, they'll stop you. We don't stand there and stare at them. We just hand it to them and walk away. And then the other one, you getting this? You put it somewhere where you're going to see it 4 times a day, and it's going to remind you to go read the Bible. And even if you just pick up your Bible or open your phone and read verses for 5 minutes, for most people, that's going to be better than what you've been doing, because if you do it 4 times a day, you just got 20 minutes in. It's not an hour or two yet, like the drums, but you'll get there. And then what I want you to do is when you read, when you close your Bible, pray to the Holy Spirit to teach you how to apply what you just read to your daily life. And once you start practicing that, I'm telling you, you're going to start whipping out that sword and you're going to start destroying the devil. That's the purpose of being a born-again Christian. To get that word, to get that sword out and apply it to your life and to the life of people around you. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, and I praise you for this day. Lord, I think we all agree that every single one of us could do better with not only reading your word, but studying your word and learning how to apply your word to our everyday life. Father, increase our desire to do just that. Lord, help us to understand, to have our minds and hearts open, that as we read your word, it'll be deposited in such a way that we know when to pull it out and when to use it, and when it'll make us stronger. And not only us, but the people around us will be motivated by your word. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we promise you in the name of Jesus Christ that we will at least try to do better than we've done in the past. In Jesus' precious name, we pray. Amen and amen. Now, before we quit, I want, you know, I know we talked about God's word and how we can all become better, but anytime God's word is open, I believe the Holy Spirit does things in people's hearts. When God's word comes forth, God's word, what does it say? Never comes back void. Amen? And so, if there's anybody here that the Holy Spirit is dealing with you in any way whatsoever, I just ask you to open your heart and to yield to the Holy Spirit and just listen to God. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior before, for whatever reason, today is the appointed time. Now is the time for you to do that. Because you're not promised your next breath. And if you haven't accepted, people at home, listen. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you die before you take your next breath, you're going to spend all of eternity in hell, out of the presence of God. And so it's just a simple thing to do, to ask God to forgive you and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And so we're going to have just a short prayer right now. And I'm going to ask you, if you've never done that before, to please consider doing it today. Let's pray. And if you need to do this, just repeat after me. You don't have to do it out loud, but just repeat after me, whether you're here or if you're at home. Father God, I thank you for what you've given. You sacrificed your only son on our behalf. He became sin who knew no sin. And Lord, he did it willingly so that we would have the opportunity to have our sins forgiven. Jesus, we thank you for suffering, for dying on that cross, for taking our sins to the grave with you, and for 3 days later, rising victoriously and getting the victory over the sin and death and sharing it and giving it freely to all of us. So Lord, right now, I ask you to forgive me of all the sins I've ever committed. Forgive me of all the sins I'm going to commit, because I know, Lord, that accepting you doesn't make me perfect, but it puts me on that path to learning and moving toward you. Lord, I receive you right now as my Lord and Savior, and I thank you for making me whole and for letting me be a part of the family of God. For it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen and amen. If you just prayed that prayer, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, close your eyes, do all that stuff. But if you've just prayed that prayer, I want you to find somebody that you know is born again and tell them what you've just done. At home, if you've done that at home and you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want you to go out and find somebody that you know is a Christian who's really serving God. Tell them what you've done and ask them, what do I do next? Amen? Because they'll lead you and teach you, and God will show you what's coming. Amen? Jim?